Hey, Saints. Timothy asked me to fill in for him kind of last minute on his end and thus last minute on my end. And so I didn't try to come up with some exegesis that I wasn't familiar with. I just kind of paused and thought, what have I been thinking about? And I think I'll springboard off of that. Just this past weekend, I was reading in Romans, because the Steeler game was late, I couldn't DVR it and do any good because it would just keep me up too late. And I don't really like to watch commercials, so we would just shut off the game and read Scripture and got through much of Romans. And as I was reading Romans chapter 7, I think probably all of you, I'm sure, have read it. We were taught Romans recently. You know the content of it. It's the part where, and we're going to read it, but, you know, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For that I will to do, I do not practice. I want to do this, but I find myself doing the opposite. You know, that the struggle that Paul writes about. And as I was reading that out loud, inside I was saying, that is me. That is, I have this knowledge. I've had good teaching. I came up in a Christian family. I'm 39 and definitely 32 years of that have been under good teaching. I'm accountable. So there's this knowledge in my soul, and then there's this realistic judgment of what I see in myself, and am saying amen to this. Like, why, you know, I find myself in this same situation. So that's what I started. I said, that's what I've been reading, or what has been on my mind the night before. And so I'm going to springboard off that. And so let me just read that. Let's get started. Romans 7, if you want to follow along, 7, verse 13 through 25. To be in the Scripture is safe. So, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then, I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform is what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Don't stop there. 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, when you read 7, and if you stop at 7, it's just the agreement of the war, the struggle of the Christian life. As you gain knowledge, you can see what righteousness is in Christ. But as you gain knowledge, you also look at yourself and are more critical. You know, what was once looked on in kind of the relative terms of the world, you were rosy. But as you gain knowledge and find out the holiness of God, that light becomes a little lighter upon you and reveals to yourself. I'm talking strictly self-analysis, self-inspection. You know, I'm not talking about, as I gain knowledge, I look out and see you guys and let's go. You know, that's not what this is. Totally inward, looking inward. And I want to then, I think we all can, when we do that, we're going to all be like, yep, that's me, just in different circumstances. So you're identifying with that struggle, you're in agreement, and you know, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, that's the Deliverer, Jesus Christ, the Son of God who became man and dealt with sin. Therefore, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But don't stop there either, which is, I think, the practice of many, including myself, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, in Christ Jesus, and there's a clause, okay, who are not walking according to the flesh. So what then? So if we know there's no condemnation, we know how to do it, and this is where it's just like, okay, I'm going to come back. Nothing I say tonight is going to be new to anybody. It's just a fresh re-looking. And so we sang this song by choice. Turn to Matthew 6:33. And it is, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I find when I am considering my life that the struggle is not with the, you know, 5 top sins necessarily. I'm not saying it's not there, but, you know, drug addiction, not fighting that. You know, don't have a problem with that. Drunkenness, not for a long time. Okay? I think I won that battle. You know, name the one. I don't swear. Not really too much, unless in your mind. But that's my point. Like, it's the inspection inside that you're saying, well, according to holiness, that's where the battle is. I'm unclean. I'm still battling flesh. Okay. So, I've said this many times, you know, when somebody asks you how your day is, you know, you stop and reflect a second and you, good or bad, and it's very often based on circumstances of your day. You know, it's what happened to me, what was my expectation, and how was that met. And again, instead of continuing to read, let's go back a verse in Matthew. What does this verse we're reading follow? "And for all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." For all these things, the Gentiles, and in Matthew he's writing to Jews. Gentiles are non-believers at this point. I mean, that's what he's saying. People that don't have God are seeking these things. And to go back to what I was saying, a lot of times when you're asked how your day is, you know, you say, I could say is just life, you know. It's just life. I'm seeking, I go to work, I'm raising a family, I, you know, have a wife that I'm, you know, subject to, and trying to fulfill her wishes, but don't get "it's just life," and I'm saying this to myself, confused with seeking the things that everybody's seeking. Like, we all go through those. It's how you go through them is what I want to bring us back to tonight. The Lord knows what we encounter, right? It's not a surprise to Him. The Lord knows. I look out and I see all people I know. And I could even guess some of the things you encounter. You know, if you're a student or you're working world or you're, you know, a child under parents. Many of those things I could guess, oh, I bet they're going through that. Well, magnify that by infinity, and God knows, and He's not surprised. So the struggles, the things that we are tempted to be pursuing is what the world does without God. And He's saying, put that aside. Put those things that everybody, let that not be preoccupying your mind. But contrary to that, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And stop there. When I was thinking of that verse, and you know what follows, but I think it's broken down into 3 or 4 things. Seek. Take this word that we gloss over. It is not a word of complacency. Seek is not a show up and be counted for attendance because I take roll, you know, in a class, it counts if I'm there. It's more than that. It's the same seek that is used as a shepherd seeking the lost sheep, you know, the one out of the 100 that has gone astray. It's that seek. It's a diligent seeking. It's a genuine pursuing. Okay? It's the same seek as he who seeks finds. It's the one who's active. It's a it's an action word. You see where I'm going. It's not I think so much of this is reflecting on myself. It's not just, hey, in the relative sense, be a little more than the guy next to you. It's not that. It's not show up to fill that seat every Sunday. That's the McKelvey's row right there. That's not what it's about. You know, it's not about that. It's what are you doing in that seat? That's where the seeking starts. I mean, it does start by showing up. You gotta be here for that. Or you gotta be listening to tape. Or you gotta be reading in the scripture. You have to be acquiring it. And it starts with the picking up of the book or the choosing which tape to put in. Or that's the seek we're talking about. It starts there, but it doesn't end there. Owning 10 Bibles doesn't do it. It's good to have one, but it doesn't help to have 10 if you don't read one. You know, it doesn't help you to have a whole closet full of Christian CDs if really the one you like is, you know, the best hits of the 80s. And if that's why you go bowling, that's wrong for the 80s bowling music. Anyway, no, there's nothing wrong with having that, but that's the seek part. Having it is good. But the seek part is, it's more than that. It's investing in what you're taking in. The next word is first. Honestly, I had a lot of time. I told Christine, I said, I'm a little worried that all my analogies will be about hunting. Because I was hunting a lot in the last couple of days. But as I was hunting, I was really trying to get around this word first. Because it's seek first. And you can take first as, you know, numerical, or you could take first as priority. And if you take this first as priority, which I think it can be, I think it's easier to say, yeah, I can, you can theorize that. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can theorize, yes, in the question, if we had one, who is the most important person? Jesus. Check that. Yes, that's first. He's priority. But it's hard to get around it if it's numerical. It's first. It's the first thing. And that, when I was looking, I just went to Strong's and looked up first. And it's like almost all, it's the same first as first in line. You know, it's the same first as first position, you know. Seek first, the first thing. It's not, yes, in theory, it's the most important thing in my life. You know, it's like the answer to the beauty pageant. I'm just thinking of this now. I hope it goes right. You know, what do you wish? I wish for peace on earth. No, you don't. You wish you win. That's what you want right now, if you were honest. But if you had to write it down for posterity, yes, peace on earth and never hunger again. That's what you want. Like, that, you know, that's the right answer. But what we're talking about is truth and position and chronological. It's first. It's your priority in time, in a sense. The priority part is there. It is, no question. But it's the same word as first. Okay? We don't need to belabor that. I tried to. We can't. It's what it means. Then the kingdom of God, and we'll start with that, but it's, and His righteousness, both are there. The kingdom of God, it's the realm of the king. It's, I looked at, you know, there's a lot of verses, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom, what is kingdom? It's, again, what you know it to be, the LMT, translated kingdom. I'm pretty confident kingdom's the right word. Anyway, it's the realm of the king. So what? Who is the king? Jesus Christ. Okay? It's the things that concern Him. It's what He cares. Yes, He's God of the universe, so it all, in one sense, is, but then take Matthew 17:22, and let's just read this because it's great. Or 22:17, that is, if I said it backwards. Tell us, therefore, what you think. This is the Pharisees trying to entrap Jesus. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. That's so great. That's just a great, perfect, pointed, double-edged sword, cutting to the quick of what they mean. But what he's saying is this: I don't care about Caesar's kingdom and the things that Caesar is concerned about. Caesar's concerned about his denarius, and his pictures on it. I'm concerned about people and my pictures on them. My image, you're made in my image. That's who I care about. That's who I'm about. And we know that knowing and believing the gospel, that's why He came. For us, for the whole world, deal with sins, deal with what separated us from Him. He didn't care about wealth, He didn't have a home to lay His head. He didn't care about even, He didn't even care enough to, I think, stop Judas from stealing out of church money. That wasn't a big thing. He knew it was recorded later, you know, for Judas was stealing. You know, do you think they knew that and just let it? He did. And it wasn't It's nothing. It's nothing. I'm concerned about people, and that's what he wants us to be concerned with. People. The kingdom of God is the things that concern him. Way up there is his people, each other. Then, and his righteousness. And I looked up, my dad had a whole bunch of books. He used to teach Bible studies. And again, they're like the 10 Bibles. I rarely open them, but I have a lot. But on these occasions, I do open them. And I looked up this word righteousness, and it used to be written as right wiseness. And it was like right, it's like the right way, and it's considering faithfulness and justice. So, but seek first the kingdom of God, okay, the realm of Jesus Christ that he's concerned about, and his right wiseness, his righteousness, his faithfulness, his justice, like the things that he is about. And when you characterize, or when you consider Christ's character, those things are there. And turn to, Romans 3, 25 and 26. Whom God set forth as propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go back. Whom God has set forth as propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. So, look at that when you consider this verse. And correct me if you can't say it in these words. But seek first the things that concern the Lord Jesus Christ, the realm of his concern, namely, the citizens of his kingdom and his righteousness, which was demonstrated, or the main example was how he gave himself as a propitiation for us. His blood was shed, signifying his righteousness. That was the demonstration of his righteousness, his faithfulness, his justice. Both those are there. Justice and faithfulness are both there in the cross and his death. His faithfulness to us, that he's going to do what it takes. He did what it takes. At this point, he's going to do what it takes, as we read in Matthew. But his faithfulness is to the infinity degree. At the same time, justice is being done. Because he's just. He's God Almighty and can work it out that way on your benefit, on my benefit. So when you think of this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, considering the pinnacle point of, in one sense, the gospel as it concerns us, that it made it possible for us to be in his presence, in right standing, righteous before God, because he did it. That's how faithful he is. And these things will be added unto you. The things that everybody else is, you're trained to go after those things. Do you know that? Like, we're trained in the world to pursue what the world seems appropriate. And they do, at times, there are similarities. You're supposed to work according to the Scripture. You know, you're supposed to earn a living and work. You know, that's what the world's training you for. But they're not training you for the same reasons. And they're not saying, hey, pursue Christ first, the King of the kingdom, and His righteousness. Be about knowing His faithfulness. And then you'll realize that everything you strive, that you've been striving for, is already done. It will be done if you're pursuing Him. Because if you're pursuing Him, you'll see that, oh, in Proverbs it says, consider the ant. He told, you know, and he stores up food for the winter. And I'm to be like him. That's wisdom. Oh, I should do that. Okay, that's a God principle because I'm pursuing Christ. Okay? I'm to love my neighbor, not cut his throat to get his position in the job. You know, not to backstab it. No, God will provide what you need. You don't have to do the things that the world says are appropriate to gain that edge. You know, hey, you got to do this. No, you need to seek first the kingdom of God, and then it may work out differently than what you were pursuing, but I guarantee, according to God's good pleasure, all these things will be added unto you. Like the world is already striving for. Another side point to his righteousness, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is also a call to holiness. And by that, because I want to, considering this, like, the degree that he went to deal with sin was crushing his Son. God the Father, to deal with sin, in agreement with the Son who laid down his life, obliterated his Son on the cross. So, don't, and I'm pointing at me, don't sing, seek ye first and his righteousness, all these things will be added, and not consider that. His righteousness demanded his death, because sin had to be dealt with. And so it's like this twofold thing. Know that he is faithful then and now, and don't lose sight of his holiness as we have this knowledge and become clothed in the righteousness of the Son, because sin, it has been dealt with. He has been set forth as the propitiation to God the Father. And that's where the battle is. Like, that's what you're seeing. You know, you know that as a believer. You've believed the gospel that God the Son came. The Christ finally came the first time and laid down his life. By grace we believed that he rose from the dead after that death, and sin has been dealt with. So we now have this righteousness forever. His faithfulness in our lives is done forever. But it doesn't quit there, and that's what this verse, it's like that is true, it's just, it was faithful then, and it continues to be. And I think the struggle is losing sight of it. It's not the doing. Because in 2 Peter 1:3, if you want to go, you can. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. It's found in Christ. It's found in our pursuing the things that he's concerned about first and his righteousness. And as you pursue that, you're going to be in the Word, and that's in because you're going to be righteous by not sinning against him. Psalm 119, 9, 10, and 11. Probably memory verses for many as children. Let me just read all three. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. His word is how we recognize his holiness, his righteousness, his faithfulness. And when we recognize it and hide it and absorb it and seek it, if we seek it, we'll find it. It's in us, and then we can live by it, and battle after battle is won. And then you proceed and walk in righteousness. And so the encouragement is kind of the last time I taught was in 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have the potential to get into the Word and see Christ come alive. We have the potential because God has given us new life. Yes, we battle flesh. There are two men until we die and have the resurrected bodies. We're going to have that battle to some degree. But daily, you can win that battle in the Word. Get the shield of the faith. Get the sword of the Spirit. And don't have a need to be ashamed before God. He's equipped us everything we need for life and godliness. Be diligent. Seek. Those are action words. To present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. How? Rightly dividing the word of truth. The last little bit of encouragement is, do that individually. Do that. Take steps from wherever you are on your own to grow. If that means choosing that tape, if that means showing up and sitting in a seat, if that means, don't let it be that you gain your Christian identity from the church you attend. It's easy to do that. Oh, I go there. They're serious. That makes me serious. Not really. And I say that to me, not to anybody else. You all look serious to me because you're here on a Wednesday night. But I know what goes in here when I'm here. And that's only in my head. And I can fill a seat up and not be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know what I'm saying? And so, let it be an individual, wherever you find yourself, let it be your choice to grow from there and make it be an action part of your life. And just remember, he who seeks finds. God doesn't leave you wandering aimlessly. He and this is one of the reasons why I love David so much in the scriptures is God viewed him as a man after God's own heart. As much of his life was written down and it was like, ooh, wish that wasn't written for everybody to read. God viewed it, I think, to just show us, but David loved me. He was after my heart. And so let it be your heart reflects that. Let it be that you are after him, that you're seeking. Here's my hunting analogy. I didn't even do one. So I have to do one. I sit out in the woods, and you're looking at brown. Everything's dead. The trees are brown. There's some patches of grass. And you're looking for the things that are unique to deer. Okay? Like, a white note. You know, you're looking for a flicker. I'm not going to get graphic. It's just looking for deer. And it's beautiful. I didn't get anything. You know, it's just exciting to see God's handiwork. But my point is, you can find this, oh, it's like looking for Where's Waldo. How about that? No. No, I mean, everything kind of looks the same, and then you, like, you know, bring focus in and out, and you see this glimpse of something that's, oh, that's what I'm looking for. And it's always been there, and you can look away, and it didn't move, and you look back and can't see it again. I view that like how we can walk in this world, and there's Christ glimpses in people, or in events, or there's truth that is being woven in and amidst nothing but deadness. Okay? But then you see, that's what I've been looking for, Christ. That's what I can get out of this mundane. And that's, I think, how you go through life and have it be profitable for you. Instead of trying to turn on your Christian hat when you come in this building, and then, hey, I can roll with the world with the best of them, you know. And I, again, saying that, there aren't too many people that hate me. And I think, Scriptures say, if no one hates you, you know, consider where you are. I'm paraphrasing. But you know what I'm saying? Like, why doesn't the world hate me? I don't want them. I mean, that's not what you're after. But is it because, you have to ask yourself, is it because I'm not beaming Christ? I want to. Why am I not? You know, there's the struggle. Okay? See, that's my encouragement. Find out where you are. Be truthful as you look at yourself. Don't try to, you know, change the words to suit you and make it ethereal or make it, theoretic, sorry. Anyway, I say this was easy. This was easy to encourage because it just took time. I love it when I teach Sunday school, when Timothy asks me. It just makes me get into the Word, and then I say, why don't I do this all the time? Why don't I do it first? So, do it first. Seek Him, and all these other things will be added to you. Grace and peace, brethren.